Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. And while this loads, I just want to say that I did this project with two graduate students as part of an advanced health policy class. Brian Vitale is a veterinarian, and Melissa Downey is a physical therapist, so they're very experts in healthcare as well. And what drove our interest in this paper was the fact that we see a healthcare system costs a lot of money. A lot of people profit from it, but many people are left without coverage. So full disclosure, we have no financial interest in this project. The sources for our information, for financial data, we use the Securities and Exchange Commission information. Publicly traded companies are required to report their revenues and profits and pay for their top executives. We got information on per capita healthcare spending from the Kaiser Family Foundation, and we use that as a resource for public opinion polling. And while we stand by the accuracy of our data, I want to inform you of our biases. We do support a government-provided health insurance program, the public option. Thank you. We would like to see a single-payer system, and we are not afraid of socialized medicine. Healthcare reform takes a long time. It's been really hard for me to put this final presentation together. This summer when Obama and told Congress they had to have healthcare reform packaged to him by the end, before they went on recess, I thought, what am I going to talk about for this? But I should know better. Theodore Roosevelt supported a national health care program in his platform in 1912 elections, and we still have a lot to do. So every morning I've been getting up, listening to the radio, hearing more about health care reform, more about resistance to public option. And I do understand that there has been some progress and that this weekend the House voted in favor of a health care reform package. I got an email from President Obama that told me so. You may have gotten the same one. But we have a ways to go, and so I think that what we have to say today is still relevant. The public supports health care reform. The majority of Americans are in favor of it. Polling from the Kaiser Family Foundation shows consistent support. A consistent majority over the past year supports health care reform. We do see a slight dip in August when the debate got really hot, but you can also see that support is trending upward since then. And also, the majority favors the public option. This poll from July 2009 says that 60% of the American population believes that we should have a public option for healthcare. Healthcare costs are gigantic, and the need for healthcare reform is obvious, given the high and growing costs and the high number of uninsured. And Audrey made the point that we're seeing fewer people covered by their employers, more individuals having to take on their own costs for insurance, and also that maybe even people are not getting as much insurance as they used to, or it may be their perception, you said, but they're getting less for more, which is one of the themes of my talk today. We spend 16 cents of every dollar in this country on health care, and there are perhaps billions of ways to reform health care, but for this project, we focused on the reason for adding a government-run insurance system to be offered to the general public as an alternative to private insurance. Uwe Reinhardt defines efficiency in healthcare as getting the greatest social value for the amount of money we spend. This means, are we getting the best services and the most people covered for what we spend on healthcare? And we don't think so. Our healthcare system is inefficient. You're all aware that we spend more than other developed countries, but we don't do better on major health indicators. except for life expectancy at age 85, and that we have more people without access to health care than these other countries. There are many things that make our health care system inefficient. We looked at administrative costs. Administrative costs were $155 billion in 2007, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That means $155 billion of our health care bill was not spent on providing health care. Now, administrative costs are necessary. We all hate paperwork, but they are needed to manage payments and policies, to keep track of enrollment and other types of record keeping, to manage and track payments to providers, to run healthcare facilities, for example. But we also believe that administrative costs pay for more than just this essential paperwork to manage healthcare and its funding. It's hard to say exactly what the right amount of spending is for administrative costs. There's pretty strong evidence that we pay more than is needed in our American healthcare system. It's generally known that Medicare has lower administrative costs than the private healthcare sector. And while official government estimates are that administrative costs are about 7% of our healthcare bill, Wool Handler and her colleagues of the Physicians for a National Healthcare Program did a detailed analysis and estimated that we actually spend 31% of our healthcare costs on administration, twice what Canada does. In this era of interest and concern about high executive compensation and corporate profits, we wondered how much of these administrative costs, whether they're 7% or 31%, were spent on the for-profit insurance industry. We used the SEC data to look at the nation's 13 largest publicly traded insurance companies. I would say that our look at profits and at executive pay underestimate the true costs of this system. Only, for example, one large company is not included in our estimates because it's privately held. We only had data on the top two executives for each company. We didn't have any idea of other benefits that are given to company executives, such as might be found in an expense account, nor other costs related to running a for-profit business. We were surprised at what we found. In 2007, 13 companies had profits of $12 billion. That's almost $1 billion for each company. Profits for the 23 insurance companies account for 8% of our nation's administrative costs, using the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare statistics of $155 billion. And we found that compensation for 26 people amounted to $152 million, or 1% of administrative costs. That's an average of $6 million per person. That may not sound a lot as we hear about the compensation of some executives in the financial sector, but I do think that $6 million is a very handsome salary, especially on professor's pay at a state university. So what could we buy? Going back to the concept of efficiency, what could we buy if we didn't spend so much money on profits and salaries? We thought about using that money, if we could, to pay for health care for more people. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, the average health care cost per person is $7,461. So how many people could get health care if there were no profits for these 26 insurance companies? That $12 billion could be used to provide health care for 1.6 million people. That amounts only to 3% of the 46 million uninsured. But we still think that's a lot of people who would benefit from having their health care covered. And what about the $155 million that goes to 26 executives? For just 26 people, we could cover insurance for 20,455 people. and I have to say that this drawing is not to scale. Why is it so difficult to include the public option in healthcare reform? Why are we listening to these constant arguments? I have a couple of thoughts. Could it be lobbying? The Associated Press said that in just the first 3 months of this year, the healthcare sector spent $127 million on lobbying Congress. In keeping with our theme, that's equivalent to the healthcare for 17,000 people. Is it a need for better public understanding? Are the people who are most outspoken about the public option people who oppose government involvement in principle? We did this a similar op-ed piece in the New Haven Register, and the comments we got were amazing and amusing. And I'm not sure how many people actually read the article, but here are a couple of comments. The argument that a socialist program will be more efficient has been propagandized and tried for 100 years. Here we go again with another bleeding heart liberal, that would be me, advocating that those who have pay for those who have not. Public option is just a euphemism for healthcare welfare. Maybe it's that we've become, to use the terms of epidemiology, maybe we've been exposed to waste of billions and trillions. And so now we're immune to hearing about millions of dollars being wasted and think it's just a drop in the bucket. And finally, I want to say maybe we need a little more health education for the general public. I think that there's evidence that if people understand what the public option can do, that they will support it. If you recall, I gave you statistics from a July Kaiser Family Foundation poll that found 36% opposed the public option. When those same people who opposed the public option were asked, what if the public option could help drive down costs because of competition with private insurance, 3/4 of those people said they would favor the public option. More people need to better understand what the public option can do for us. So, in conclusion, we believe that the free market has failed us in healthcare. It does not bring the best coverage to all Americans. Innovation, a hallmark of the free market, innovation in health insurance is not the same as innovation in healthcare. Private insurance gives us less and costs us more. And finally, if health reform mandates that everyone buy insurance, whether through their employer or through their individual, and we don't have a public option, what this means is that the profits and money that go to the for-profit sector in the health insurance industry will only get larger. Thank you very much.